We just thank you for the anointing that's here to give unction, Lord God, to be able to speak your word, that you use this vessel whichever way you see fit, Lord, but you'd open our spiritual ears and eyes to be able to hear and see. And Father, as it says in your word, the anointing teaches us concerning all things. I would ask you, Holy Spirit, the anointing in each believer here tonight, Lord, that you would turn it up to full power, Lord, that they would be able to have things dropped within their hearts that they didn't know was even there, Lord, but God, things and messages, because we have so many ministers here, Lord, and they're carrying your word to so many different places. Father, they carry your water. And I just ask you to fill these vessels up with water tonight. Holy water, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Fill them up, God. Fill them up. All the way up. All the way up to overflowing. Fill them up, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as you did that one time, Lord, that you filled those jars were filled up, Lord God, and you prayed over them, that water turned into wine. I thank you, God, that you're turning that water in them into power, into spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for that, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You know, that word Nehemiah comes before me, brother. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I just see the Lord really using you to rebuild something right now. God has really placed within your heart just a word of rebuilding. Like Nehemiah, he went down and he actually surveyed the walls, if I recall, in the scriptures. And God has given you that type of a understanding, that type of spirit, to be able to survey the walls, because there's something that needs to be constructed, and God's going to send you into it. But as Nehemiah was a skilled builder in the spirit, God's made you a skilled builder in the spirit too. So just be encouraged, because God says there's some tools that you need to be able to complete this project, and the Holy Spirit's the one that chooses to give the gifts. So he's going to put some more tools in you to be able to complete this job. Because it's not just one way that God's going to do this thing. It's a couple ways, but there's some strategy involved in it. God's going to give you specifics of the strategy, because it's important, because the foundation must be laid correctly. If it's not, then it won't stand in the test of time. So God's just going to give you a real wisdom and a real skill. And on top of that, the language that comes out of your heart when you communicate, people will hear what you have to say, because the wisdom, the anointing is going to be on your voice. Literally, when you talk, people are going to listen. There was a commercial years ago that it was E.F. Hutton. When he spoke, everybody kept quiet in the room. I feel like that's going to be you, that people are going to listen to what you have to say. So just be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. You know, I talk a lot about hearing the voice of God and decision-making. You know, hearing God and making decisions are really important, you know, because you ever get in a situation where you just want to hear him. You know, which way do I go? You know, which way do I go? You come to a fork. Do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I go start a church? Do I do a ministry? What is it that you're telling me to do? And I think it's very important, you know, even though all of us in here, we hear the Lord, and we all are different, maybe different places, we hear God, but God wants to take us all to another place. You know, it's always, there's only one way, and that's that way. We're going to get better at hearing, not the other way, right? And so God wants to just maybe give us a little refresher course, maybe on some things today, but maybe some things that maybe you hadn't seen before in the Word. Maybe there's something here that maybe you kind of just overlooked, you know, in your process of hearing the Lord. You know, I use this scripture quite a bit in John, it's chapter 5, verse 30, and this is in the Amplified Bible, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, I can do nothing on my own initiative or authority. Just as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. So he's making decisions. And making decisions is important, especially when the word or the voice comes to you, because there's a lot of voices in the world, you know. A lot of things come out of our minds at many times, but Jesus says, my judgment is just, it's fair, it's righteous, it's unbiased, because I do not seek or consult my own will, but only the will of him who sent me. And so that's Jesus speaking here. So he made decisions all the time, and his decisions were right and they were just. And so when you and I want to make a decision, when God speaks to us, you know, a lot of Christians are really, they're moved by emotion a lot. It's one of the criticisms of the world. It says, you know, when somebody, it says, oh, that person's got a lot of religion, they're unstable. You know, they're not normal. They're just unstable, you know. And but there are a lot of Christians that, and too at times, I've made decisions out of emotion. You know, I mean, anger's a good one, so you never get angry. No, nobody here ever get angry. But, you know, that's why the Bible says don't get angry, you know, because you get anger. Anger can manipulate you and make bad decisions, you know, especially if you're driving a car and somebody cuts you off and you get angry, you know, and you drive a little more faster than you should, or maybe you go up and cut them off. Or maybe you think about cutting them off, but then you don't do it. But then you're slightly angry, and what you did notice is you were speeding, and the cop pulls you over, and then all of a sudden you're getting that ticket. So emotion is something that can influence our decisions at times, for sure, but it is not the decision maker. Our will is the decision maker. And so we need to understand that who's deciding in our own vessels. Who's the decision maker here? You ever had a conversation with yourself like that? Now, have you said that to yourself? Now, who is the decision maker here? Look in the mirror and you say that. And then you all of a sudden find out, you're praying either you have multiple personalities or what's going on here. But it's okay to talk to yourself. I do at times. So maybe that makes some people leave the room. I don't know. But I often catch my wife sometimes, since she's not here tonight. I'll tell on her. She's talking to herself. I'll come in and I'll say, who are you talking to? I was just talking to myself. I go, well, it's good. Mind if I listen? I'm kind of enjoying what you have to say. I mean, you're in an actual argument. I mean, I didn't realize you could argue with yourself. I mean, who's winning that argument in there anyway, you know? So anyway, let's move on here. Let's go to Psalm 103. And you're going to see something here that kind of jumped out at me. This is David here. And David goes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. It's a strange scripture. I don't know if you ever looked at it. It said, bless the Lord. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his soul. Is he not? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to his soul. It's his spirit that's talking to his soul. See, the spirit man is what communicates with God. So the spirit man in David is talking to his soul in this scripture. David is speaking to his own soul and challenging it to do something. Is he not? He's speaking to his own soul and challenging it to do something. David's spirit is talking to his soul. David's spirit is in contact with God. David's spirit is aware of the spirit world and his spiritual obligations. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus says those that worship must what? Worship in what? In spirit, in truth. So this is, he's having a motivational talk with himself, is he not? Bless the Lord, O my soul. I read that and I'm sitting, it's confused me for a long time. I know, what in the world? Why would he say that? What's going on, David? He must know something here. The word is trying to teach us something here. It's trying to say something, because the thing is that the power of the Spirit of God in David was charging him to do something, was directing him to do something. And he was directing it at his soul. But his soul is slow to respond. His soul does not see the things the way that his spirit does. His spirit is willing, but his soul is sluggish. Just an observation. I'm not saying thus says the Lord on that, but that's just my observation. Because he's, you can tell the way he's blessed the Lord, my soul. We're going to get into that in a little bit more detail. So David's spirit is stirring up his soul. David realizes it's not enough for his spirit to be stirred. His soul has to make the decision. And some of you have experienced this, where the Spirit of God is stirring you. And then it kind of fades out. And then it stirs you again, and then it fades out. But David recognizes something here, and he knows, he says, I read that again, it's not enough for his spirit just to be stirred. His soul has to make a decision about it. The spirit is the current. It's like the electricity, I would say. The spirit is like electricity, and the soul is like the switch. The spirit is like electricity, it's power. There's power in your spirit. The power of God is in there with you. He's in union with you. The power is there. The power is always there. It's not like some days it's low. So, no, it's there. It's at 100%, saints. It's there. But the soul is the switch. And so there's a decision to be made. The spirit is the current. The soul is the switch. His soul has to make the decision. To understand this, you have to understand the basic picture of the nature of man. I'm doing a good job now. I'm following my notes. I want you to put this. I want somebody to just pat me on the back, Charles. Somebody. I am not going on rabbit trails as of yet. Thank you. I shall continue now. Can I get an amen? You have to understand the basic picture of the nature of man. Man has been created in the image of God. Now, I've thought about this much, that the image of God is actually a function. I always thought of the image of God as some kind of a picture of something I'm looking at, but it's actually a function. The image of God is a function. Scriptures reveal that that God is a triune. You know, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The scriptures tell us that God is three in one, one in three. He's a triunion. So God is triune. God, and so is man. Man has three elements in his personality. Let's back that up with scripture, Todd. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. See, I'm already talking to myself. I haven't even got through this yet. We have a good conversation with Todd tonight, I think. Somebody listening to this tape's going, "By, hey, that guy's crazy." Didn't hear a preacher like that. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, wholly, and some of the scriptures say, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that just points out that man is a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. The relationship between the spirit and soul is where most of our problems occur. When we hear God, we make a decision. How can we distinguish between the spirit and the soul? This is so important. I think I've said this so many times, I'm just now kind of really digging down into it, that Jesus knew what his will was. That's why he didn't consult it. He had no desire to do what was pleasing to himself, so he must would have known what was pleasing to himself too. So he knew all those things, but yet he made the decision. He always kept the switch on, because it says that he had the anointing without measure. There was no measure to the power that was moving through that his vessel, because he only spoke the words of the Father. So the switch was always on. And that's why he only spoke the words of the Father. So that must mean you and I, because we have the Lord inside of us, when that switch is on and we're speaking the words of the Lord through us, that the anointing, which is at 100% within us, could be released and do a work, could it not? So his switch was always on. But what's interesting here is that this is where we have problems all the time. How can we distinguish between the spirit in the soul. We have to be able to do that. God would not sit there and say, okay, I want you to learn the difference between your spirit and soul and not give us the answer. So it must mean that the Word has the answer, and it does. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and of the spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. It penetrates. It penetrates the soul and the spirit. That's the unseen realm. You don't see your soul. You don't see your spirit. But the Word of God penetrates that and can separate it. The Word of God. The Word, the Bible, we're going to go into that a little bit more to you. It's the thing that separates it. It's the thing that gives you the ability to be able to distinguish it. And this is something that has to be, you have to train for. I'm just telling you, you have to train for this. You have to actually read the Bible. You actually have to research and dig and, you know, and meditate and all those things. It doesn't come any other way. I wish it would. I wish we'd just be born and just immediately we knew the difference. And you do get a lot of that through your relationship with the Lord for sure. But it requires the Word of the Lord. It requires studying the Scriptures. Because Jesus knew the Scriptures very well. In fact, they were amazed even when he was young. Remember when he was in the temple and he was teaching and they were like blown away at how he knew the Scriptures? So he did that. He actually studied the Word. He did that. He did everything that was possible to do at the time. If anything he could get his hands on, he consumed that and studied it and meditated. He walked all that out. It penetrates the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. That's the natural realm. It penetrates the soul and the spirit, which is unseen realm. Unless we turn to the Word of God and accept its revelation, we will never be able to distinguish the difference between the soul and the spirit. We will be living inwardly in uncertainty and confusion. Let me read that again. Unless we turn to the Word of God and accept its revelation, we will never be able to distinguish the difference between the soul and the spirit. We will be living inwardly in uncertainty and confusion. Now, I have been there. I don't know about you. I have been in this place. Uncertain and confusion. I've been in that place. I didn't understand. You know, it's like I was, I'd be even praying about this and that, and I couldn't get free from it. Because I wasn't in the Word to try to bring about the discernment to be able to get the difference. Because see, when everything's mingled all the inside, you're like, well, maybe that is the will of God. Well, maybe it's not the will of God. You know, or maybe I should go here. Remember the Scripture says in James about people that boast about they're going to go move to this city and they're going to do business James says, you don't even know what the will of God is. That's his boasting. And yet some of us right now, maybe I thought about, you know, maybe I should pick up another job lately. I thought it had come to me. I don't know if it was from the Lord or not. I didn't really check it out. But so I'm saying, well, what the heck am I supposed to do? So maybe I'll be a UPS guy. Or maybe I'll go wait tables. The craziest thoughts will come to our heads in all kinds of times and seasons over just because we have some kind of emotional reaction to something in this earth that just shifts. Something temporal in our life just moves, and all of a sudden we move into emotion mode. And that emotion mode begins to stimulate these thoughts where we're not sitting there trying to discern from the Word of God, but the emotion is actually playing us like a piano and maneuvering us, and then we got an enemy out there that likes to project thoughts at us, and now we're eating his lunch, and now he's going to eat our lunch, because now he has this position over here when we should be there. You see? This is what is going on in a lot of Christians' lives. And so that's why we're here tonight, because you're hearing something that's going to make you think that maybe it's possible that God is telling by your spirit is talking to your soul, that you're to talk to your soul, that you're to switch that thing on. I'm getting ahead of myself, see? I got to stay in my notes. So the word is like a mirror which reveals our inward being. The word is like a mirror which reveals our inward being and our nature. In James chapter 1, there you go. James chapter 1, verse 23 says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." Read that again. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away from it, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." You see, the word of God, when you meditate on it, communicates to you and tells you who you are in him. And that changes everything. It really does. Because when you read and you study and you meditate on what God thinks about you, I mean, what he says about you, it will strengthen you. It says in the scripture that God's eyes looks to and fro to see someone's heart who is after him. And when he finds that person, what does he do? He strengthens him. So the Word of God, and using that as a mirror, when you stay in the Word of God, it will strengthen you. It can't do anything else except for that, because it's His Word. His Word is absolute. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him, and you come in line with it when you look at that mirror, and you can remember who you are because you're doing the very Word that you're reading. Like, "I command you to love one another." You read it. And you have all kinds of opportunity. You have all kinds of people come your way to love. And the variety is awesome. That one's... "You want me to love that one?" "Yes, I want you to love that one." "Or you want me to love that person?" "Yeah, I want you to love that person." You see, that's where identity comes from in the spirit. That's why you have this going on in our country, identifying as this, identifying as that. Can you just see how deceitful the enemy is? Why is he throwing that in society at this point in time in history? Why? What is all creation yearning for? The revelation of what? The sons of God. So if the power within you and me is actually at 100%, how will we even know that if we don't study it? If we don't see it, then we won't know. But if we see it and we know and we do it, we'll start to experience this manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit that the apostles and the prophets and all those people, they moved in and they taught it and they wanted others to move in it and they believed in it, and there was character that came out of that changed them as individual people. Peter, who denied the Lord, became the big preacher and got in front of everybody's face. How did that happen? See, this is what the Word of God will turn you into, a virtual Lion of Judah. because he's within you. And the enemy does everything he can do, because as long as he can keep an army on the field, he can at least delay it. He's defeated. He's defeated. He has no power. He's been stripped. But if the church doesn't get up and rise up and start to move in the power of God, because the church is going to recognize who they are, they're going to be with, it's going to be without spot, wrinkle, blemish. It's going to pound on the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's already been written. It's already been spoken. It's going to happen. And I would submit to you that you have been positioned strategically to some gate of some hell in somebody's life, that you have the authority to pound back the enemy and break them off of their lives and set them free by the power of Jesus Christ, who resides inside of you, who speaks through you, who talks to you. He will set the captive free. And it doesn't matter what age you are or what vessel you happen to be find yourself in. You got one. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. Romans chapter 12. I had all these things so organized. I have these little things. I left them all over the floor in all these nice churches in South Africa. They just loved me for it. And they collected them all and made sure I got them back. It was so funny. Here's your... Why don't you go off your phone and off your computer? Why don't you be like the modern-day preachers? I don't know. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, reading the Word of God and staying in the Scriptures renews your mind. It reminds you. It tells you who you are. It gives you the strength you need. It gives you the solutions and the decisions that you've got to make. It opens up a whole new understanding of really why you're here and gives you entrance into the realm of the Spirit. There's no other way to get it. It's an awesome thing. This thing is just awesome. There's so many things in it. You can always learn something. There's always some kind of new revelation. I mean, Jesus wants to reveal himself to you in a way, in your relationship and through his word, that you've never ever known about him before. Maybe you've heard about it, but when you experience Jesus, where he reveals himself to you in a new form. I mean, did he not appear on the road to Emmaus in a form they didn't recognize? But did he not break bread with them? And did he not open their eyes to who he was? He's trying to open your eyes right now. He's opening up your eyes and your situations and your tests. He wants to reveal himself to you. Maybe he's revealing himself to you as his healer. Maybe he's revealing yourself to you as a prophet. Whatever he's revealing himself to you, he wants to give you new information about his person. He wants the relationship. He chose you. He chose you. You're chosen. Think about that. The Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, chose you. You are chosen. That's got to make you feel special. Say, I'm special. You are special. So by looking at these three scriptures in 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews, and James, we find this revelation that man is a triune being that contains these three elements: spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is God consciousness, the soul is self-conscious, and the body is world conscious. The spirit is God conscious, the soul is self-conscious, and the body is world conscious. Through the senses, the body apprehends the physical world. Through the senses, the body apprehends the physical world. But only man's spirit can directly relate to God, because God is spirit. Those that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. In between those, the soul is the switch or the joint which makes the man self-conscious. The soul is like the ego that says, I will or I will not. It makes everyone an individual. You know, some people say, I'll do it. Some people say, I won't do it. And that's why we get, save your soul. How many souls have you saved? You know, I mean, the soul needs to be saving for sure. But the soul makes us an individual. So that's why we're all unique. We're all, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about God. Not one person is the same. I mean, that just blows my mind in itself. All the billions of people that have been on the planet since the beginning of time, and not one is the same? Think of that. What a variety we are. The function of the soul decides man's destiny. Emotions may influence it, but the soul determines the will of the individual. So really, that's where the decision is in your soul. You make a decision on a daily basis. Really, when the Bible talks about taking every thought captive, that's the captivating the thoughts that are coming through your mind and making decisions and capturing them. Is very, very important practice. It's something that you can practice on a daily basis. You don't have to go to a batting cage to have practice with thoughts, because they just, believe me, there's plenty of things pitching at you. Amen? Yeah, if there's somebody in here who didn't have a thought today, just let me pray. It's got something going on there, but it's going to be going there. But you're getting pitched stuff all the time. And the thing is that when you're meditating, that's why Joshua was commanded to meditate on God's word, what? Day and night, that he would have what? Have success. And so all through the scriptures, it gets right back to the word of God, that the meditation of the word of God, to study the word of God, to reading the word of God, all those things bring into your life. And what it does, it gives you the ability to be able to discern the difference between your will and his will. And now you can determine and make decisions. The soul makes the decision, I will do the will of God. The word comes to me, the voice comes to me, I make a decision. My decision is right, it's justice, because I do not desire to do what is pleasing to myself or my will. I don't consult my own will, but only the will and the pleasure of the Father. And the only way to know, to be able to discern that, is by getting this word deep down inside of you and meditating on it. Now, let's go back to Psalm 103 and let's see something. I lost my little thing. So here it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems the life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So there's two decisions that David makes here. Two decisions. First decision, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He tells his soul to bless the Lord. Now, that Hebrew word bless there is barak. So when he's saying to his soul, is telling him, or the Spirit is telling his soul to bless the Lord, there's a decision to be made there. And the decision, the word barak means, it's a Hebrew word, it means to come to the knee. Come to the knee. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He makes a decision to bless the Lord. Goes to his knee, but it's more than just going to your knees. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of worship. It's an attitude of respect. It's an attitude of awe. It's bending the knee to the Lord. And so his spirit is charging himself to make that decision, and his decision is to bend the knee before the Lord and to bless them. And so he makes that decision. It's a way of approaching God that, I don't know about you, have you ever laid down on the ground just like this? I mean, just get before him like that. You know, it's an attitude. Because when you come into that type of presence, the ground's too high. I mean, really, when you really are in the presence of God, there's something about just getting on your knee or getting down on your face and just get before him and just let him just minister to you. And a lot of times he just wants the relationship. He really just wants to spend time with you. He misses that. And every time you get into that presence, there's always something. You'll always come away with something. It's like a transactions are taking place when we do that, when we get before him and we just bless him. To bless the Lord means to come to the knee. That's the Hebrew word, the right attitude and posture. Decision to adopt a certain attitude and a body position of humility, of reverence and worship that God has, what God has done. Then God returns with a blessing. It's a two-way transaction, and David was telling his soul to adopt the right attitude. That's basically what he was doing. And you've had that experience where you're stirred within your spirit, and you know that maybe your attitude hasn't been right, or maybe you haven't approached the problem or the situation in your life the right way. And you just get an adjustment when you just bow your knee and just get your knee before the Lord. The second decision that David makes here, it says, forget not. That was the second decision. He's telling his soul to forget not the benefits of God. In other words, he was focusing his mind to decide on remembering his benefits. He made a decision that he was going to remember his benefits. It says in the scriptures that as a person thinks, so is he. You can't think wrong. You can't think wrong and live right. And you can't think right and live wrong. So as a person thinks, so is he. So he's just reminding himself to focus on the benefits of God and to remind himself. And that's where the transaction takes place, because that's really what I'm really, in a sense, what I'm really talking about a lot is faith to receive from the Lord. And by making those decisions, when your spirit, you know, it says walk in the spirit, you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. Your spirit is always communicating something to you on a daily basis. I don't know about you, but I'm very much aware that God is communicating to me all the time. It's nonstop. It's nonstop. And you become more and more aware of it, that he wants to show you things. He wants to teach you things. You know, and like, you know, I shared that he didn't want me concerned about certain things or worried about certain things. He just didn't want me to be like that. And I never realized how much I was like that. I mean, I really didn't, because I didn't think I worried about anything. I just thought that I was taking care of things. Taking care of that, because I'm responsible. Well, yeah, but, you know, what's going on really inside? You know, when it says, you know, you people, you know, have money issues and stuff like that, it says you can't serve God and mammon. Well, if mammon is dictating to me the way I'm feeling because I don't have it or do have it or whatever, do you see what I'm saying? Is it not leading me around? What am I serving? I serve that, am I serving him? It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and he'll add all things to me. So when I'm taking care of things, maybe I need to be seeking Him and taking care of things rather than just taking care of things. The devil just loves to play with me because, yeah, I'm the CEO of Creative Energy Candles. I don't know if you knew that or not. I am the CEO. You know, I'm in charge of the bank. I make sure the bills are paid. So I'm just a prime target for the enemy. He just loves to just try to just mess with me. And I know it. But, you know, even when I know it and you go off those things, if I don't stay in here, I'm not equipped. And so I get issues. And now I'm making decisions on, well, do I pay this or I do not pay it? Do I wait to pay this? Or how can I delay that? Or, you see what I'm saying? All those things that go through your mind and my mind when we're confronted. But to see, the thing about it is that the soul can make a decision. It can make a decision to seek God, to seek His Word, to stay in His Word, versus to stay in the realm where things are able to be moved around and be able to be subject to change. He decided to think on the Lord's benefits. He lists six of them there. So he instructs himself to meditate, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Think of that. The very meditating on this, the very reading of that, brought comfort to many people in this room. And it's a way that, this is the way that the Holy Spirit does things in our gatherings and in our meetings and things like that we go to, is he captivates all those bad thoughts and he brings his word right in front of you and presents it to you. And so now you aren't thinking about that other junk that was outside the room or outside there, and now you're meditating on his word. And this is something he wants you to experience in your walk. So this anointing that's here is the same anointing that you can have at your house or anywhere, because it's always permanently within you. It's just easier when we all come together, because we're all in it. We're all on the same test. We're all on the same boat, as we say. And we come together, and that's what a good thing about it. It says that don't forsake yourself assembling, especially when you see the day approach, the day of the Lord. And that's what's cool about us assembling. That's why I like calling this a gathering, because we simply are just gathering together. We're just believers, different churches, different backgrounds, different giftings, and we come together to just worship the Lord, and then he shows up and he imparts to us. And we go back and we walk it out. Focusing your mind enters you in. So focusing the meditator on the God's word day and night, it enters us in to that place, into that place of the Spirit, into that place of the anointing, into the victory, the triumph, all that stuff. Our focus, the very focus, our mind, the mind of Christ, it enters us in. And Philippians 4:8, last scripture I'll share here. Says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Dwell on these things. And so it's real clear when just the few scriptures that we've read, there's so much stuff that you and I could just dig into tonight and tomorrow. You can walk this out, saints. You can do this. This is doable. So next time you look at Psalm 103, look at it just a little bit differently. Talk to your soul. Tell your soul, from that the spirit man inside you, tell your soul what to do. It's to serve you. It wants to be God, but it's not. It's to serve you. You're a spirit being. You're an eternal being. You're never going to know. You're going to live it forever. Well, who knows? I think it says somewhere that this life won't even come into mind on down the road. I've heard people, you know, we're going to go home at some point. But the point is, we're here now. Let's walk it out. Let's carry this water from this place tonight. And let's water some people. Some people out need to be watered. It says in Scripture, he who waters shall himself be watered, you know. So if you got some water tonight, just go start to spread it out to somewhere. There's somebody you're going to come in contact with tomorrow that's going to need to hear a word of encouragement. Amen. There's somebody that's going to need a touch from the Lord. Amen? Amen?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. That was so good. Hallelujah. And I have no more notes. Anybody have a comment?
I have a word that I think is pertinent to us that I got from Julie's house on Tuesday. I was sitting there, and I was asking the Lord to show me something, to show me, right? And I saw this really bright light, and I said, oh, it's this bright, I can't see. And he said, I'm coming with my bright glory, and the light of my glory will eclipse everything on the earth. When people see my glory, the glory of the world, what the world considers glory, will look like plastic cheap toys. The false glory or glow of the world will be revealed as it really is, worthless. And then I saw, like, you know how we do mansions and we think, woohoo, someone has a mansion. I saw these mansions, but they were like empty ruins. They were like empty ruins. I don't know how to describe that. And the glory of the Lord, when it comes, will reveal the true condition of man's earthly treasures, because those who place their trust in these things will see the worthlessness that they are. So there's going to be a revealing of that. And because it's going to be in light of his kingdom glory. They will look like empty, cold shells. The hold that these things have on the people, my his people, will just absolutely be broken.
Yes,
it's broken. For the enemy seeks to blind the eyes of those who can be deceived, because they think these things are their acceptance and validation, and they're woohoo, I'm somebody in the world. But the real they will know that they will see that the real treasure is in a relationship with the Lord, or a relationship with me, the Lord, and the riches of my kingdom. You'll see the value in that. And so all the enemy can give in this world are the worthless riches of this world, which are his wide road to hell. And that was pretty strong for me. And the enemy pulls on the wounded places, the empty places in our souls for those things. But if we have a revelation of the love of the Lord and his glory, those things won't even touch us.
That's right.
We'll just walk through it and not be impressed with, I don't know, Teslas and whatever. So there's a security in knowing the love of the Lord, but it's also a protection and a guard against being trapped by the trappings of the world. Yeah. And I just think that that's important to, it's coming.
Amen.
It's coming.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes.
Anybody have anything to, go ahead.
Okay, so
you have to come up here. That's right. Make a decision. I'm just kidding.
So on the topic of the will and decisions, I've been, like, about 5 weeks ago, I was walking around a block praying, and I heard the Lord say, like, a sentence here and a sentence there and a sentence there, and I was walking, and I heard him say, just say yes. So when we were singing the yes, Lord songs, I was like, my heart was singing because it was like, Lord. And then I walked a little bit longer, and then I felt like I heard him just remind me that expression we've probably heard from Heidi Baker, that's just stop from the one. I'm like, okay, I'll put that in my toolkit. And then I was walking a little bit more, and he said, it's all about the kingdom. And so I knew the Lord was giving me those series of bullets for parameters for deciding, you know, and discerning what the Lord's saying. Just say yes and stop for the one, and whether or not the decisions or choices are about, it's all about the kingdom. So it was,
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We did sing that song, Yes, Lord. Anyone else?
Robert went to get my book.
Okay. Anyone else? Anybody have a comment that what I taught on? That any word of correction out there that maybe I? Anybody want to reel in anything?
You left out something.
We'll go ahead, Ed.
Speak to the your soul, bless the Lord, that we're spirit, soul, and body, right? And he's 100% correct. We are to speak to our soul. But our soul consists of our mind, our emotion, and our will.
Right.
And our mind is a computer, the best ever. No man can reproduce it. And then we have our emotions, and then our will. Mm-hmm. You choose. I choose. But we speak to our soul, but we can also speak to our emotions. You understand that? We speak to our emotions just like we speak to our soul. And we can tell our emotions to come in line with the Word of God.
Yes.
If you ever have a problem forgiving somebody and you have that in there, you can speak to that unforgiveness, that emotion of unforgiveness.
That's good.
To come in line with the Word of God.
That's good. See? That's good. Amen. That's
okay.
Right.
P.S. on
P.S. Speak to your emotions.
Okay. Well, what I would say is, in the last month, when Doug Jolly spoke a couple of weeks ago, an entire phrase of what he said was in a word that he had given me, at the beginning of 2024. And the Lord had already told me the week before then to go back and look at the words that we had received. What I received in October of 23, right after this started, and even in January of 24, is just now coming, the word that I received is just now coming to pass. And it's awesome. I'm just telling you, it's really word for word. I mean, when he gave that word, I mean, I had just looked at my word that he had given me in October of 23, and the entire sentence was word for word what he said. So I'm just telling you, I know that this is an accelerated time. And one of the words that I wrote down was a word that Todd gave for the entire body, not for me individually. And the Lord, for the last couple of days, I just can't let go. So this is what Todd said on January 11th, 2024. He said, at the top of here, I don't know why, but I had written, the thing about the spirit of Malachi, calves leaping out of the stall. That's what I had written at the top. But this was January 11th, 2024, to the gathering. I feel like there's a diet coming. There's a diet coming to you and to me that's going to cause us to grow faster. It's going to come from the Lord. It's some kind of meal that he's preparing for you and for me that's going to cause us to grow faster. Not that we haven't grown, but do you hear what I'm saying? And the reason being is because the times we're in, words and prophecies are coming to pass very quickly, where normally it would take years, and we are seeing a lot of things in the scriptures come to pass. I want to encourage you, be ready to make yourself available. Allow him to nurture you. God gives the increase, so we need the increase, and we want it. That's why people are coming here. They want to be a part of like-minded believers. You might say, not in the sense that we are all the same, but we are searching for the same thing. We are tired of sitting, doing church. We want to go out. And that's what Todd said in January. But I wanted to tell you, and me and Robert, I mean, we're so grateful for this gathering. I was born again November 14th of 2021. So it's not even been 4 years, and I just cannot, it blows my mind to know where I have come in less than 4 years. But the last several weeks, the message here at the gathering has been about humbling yourself. Allowing yourself to get cleaned up and be able to be used for what's coming. He needs us to be cleaned up. He's not a God that does mixture, right? You know, and so Robert and I both knew that that word last week was for us. When we got in the truck, we said, oh my gosh, that word was for us. You know, now's the time. Get low. The floor's not going to be picking up. And I'm going to tell you the truth. That word that she said, when people in this world realize that they had no foundation, everything that they thought was their foundation is gone, there are going to be some wrecked people out there. And there's just a few of us doing this kind of thing. I was encouraged when I went to the healing meeting in Tampa. You know, the room was full. 25 different states, 5 different countries, you know, all of us saying, you know what, we're supposed to be doing power evangelism. You know, where are the signs and the wonders and the miracles? Lewis texted this week when we were praying for Kathy, who we all prayed for last week. She took a fall after that, and so we've been believing for her healing. But Lewis texted said, it's time for the miracles, y'all. I'm telling you.
Okay,
Jesus didn't tell us to heal some of the sick. He said heal the sick. You know, the word is what the word says. But if we want him to use us, we're just all going to have to search ourselves. Pride can't be a part of this. We're doing deliverance. You're not going to be able to cast Leviathan out of someone if you're dealing with pride. You're not going to be able to deliver someone from pornography if you're struggling with it yourself. You know, I mean, but this world's going to need people on this side to pull them through and get them out of that fire. I'm telling you, there are going to be people committing suicide when the bottom falls out because they are not going to be grounded on anything. And we are grounded on the word. Right? We have a sure foundation, right? It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late when things start collapsing for them to try and get sure footing, right? But we have the words, and this is what this has been. You know, honestly, I'll just be shocked with you. We all see the signs of the times, and I just wonder why this place didn't build up everything. You know, we can't get prepared quick enough because we see the way the things are going in the world. And I personally can see the acceleration just in my life. I'm sure then y'all can too, I don't know. And I'm just telling you, it's in a rocket fire, you know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just happens quickly. And just all of a sudden this week, then when you run into people and God's causing past the cracked cross, you know, it's a great alignment of people, you know, and equipment, you know? It's the greatest time to be alive. And just like Todd said, to think that you've been chosen from the creator of the world to be here this time.
Yes.
This time. You know? And you know, there was a time when I thought when I went, died and went to heaven, well, I wouldn't even say then. You see, after sitting in church and being with the council and all that, what do you say? Right? You know, but when you have that revelation, and I would think, well, who am I going to talk to when I go to heaven? You know, they're going to want to talk to us.
Wow.
Do you understand? We have the Spirit of God living in us. You know? We have everything we need. All the power, all the gifts, everything we need. Now we need to start operating them. You know? And you start going and you're doing. You go out and do the Lord working with you. Right? He does it. But if you don't go out and you're not the body, you're not doing it, it doesn't happen.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We done seen the raising of the dead. We done seen the people healed. And we done cast out the demons. The only thing we haven't seen yet is the priests and the lepers. We don't want no lepers.
Well, if they know there's any lepers, I guess. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to share this with just you.
Oh.
So, on 8/7, a couple weeks ago, you called me a prophetess. And I told you that I don't need a title. And then you said it again on the 14th. So I've been pondering that word spoken over me. And I thought, oh God, am I? And he said, what did prophets do? He said, they warn the people. So over my life, I look back, he showed me things that I can't always share. And there's some right now I can't. I just don't feel like it's time. But one of the things I felt like I was supposed to get up and say was one that I felt like I could, was get the idols out of your life. Idols can be so many things. The traditions of men, repent and turn your faces away from the abominations. False prophets are being sent to the church. People love the lie. So many love the lie. It says, remain in him. And there, Jeremiah 14:14, the consequences of idolatry. Mm. And honestly, I feel Jeremiah's pain, the weeping prophet. Because there's so many in the church, we just think we say a few words and that's it. There's a lot of, I have to search my own heart for idols. That's all that I can say right now.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Yeah, that's something that is, you know, really. I got one individual that I'm aware of that has been, the body's been stricken with cancer. Prior to that happening or becoming knowledge, it was probably a good 8 months before, prior to that, that I was seeing kind of what you were just sharing, that there was false religion and idols, things like that. There was a young lady that came in here that had some things that were false stuff. And yeah, there's so much stuff out there now. I mean, my gosh, you know, so much stuff comes at you through the phone, movies, you name it. So I'm glad you shared that. That's good. And it's true. You know, and I think we do need to take an inventory of what's going on around us, what we're taking in, what we're feeding on, you know. So, you know, get the aisles out. Amen? Amen. The ones that you know of and the ones, it's usually the ones you don't know. Absolutely. You know? You know, it's a time in my life where, you can make a relationship your idol. You know, I remember my high school sweetheart dumping me. You know, the handwriting was on the wall when she joined a sorority and I was in a different school. And I slowly was tormented, and my God had left me. And there goes my joy, there goes my hope, there goes my life. And you know what I'm saying? You could just, so many things you could just elevate, you know, above the Lord. And, you know, I learned the hard way. But anyway, but that was a good word. Father, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. Lord, I just ask you to continue to minister to us concerning your word tonight. Lord, let that go deep within our hearts. And continue to stir us as you stirred David, Lord. And I just thank you for your presence, and we thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.